Isn't it great? Joe Biden emerges from the shadows and we get to hear him call kids colored. Isn't it great? Aaron's dream has come true. Aaron really misses Joe Biden because of the content value of it all. Isn't it just great that we have Joe back? Joe is back to give speeches again. I love it. Keep coming, Joe. Keep coming. Schedule them all. Schedule them every day because you never know. The actual title of that video is Joe Never Lets Us Down.
He doesn't.
Isn't it great? Wednesday night, we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed. In Jesus' mighty name, let me say hey to everybody in the chat. Todd Suff is on. Hey, Dad, what is on? Conservative Waffle is on. Lady Vu is on. D9597 is on. Hans Lake Donovan is on. Skunk 71 is on. S-Clark 1968 is on. D9597 is on. Judy Anita is on. Guitar Glenn is on. Waterline 46 is on. Lady Vu is on. Snag Dog is on. Mike Griffith is on. Let me see. Robin Aroni is on. Granite 2468 is on. Supergirl 21 is on. Tim L. T-Bird is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Christopher Arnott is on. Let me see. Jules 21 Hours is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Clean Sanchez is on. Sheila K is on. Stefan Thomas is on. Uncle Wally is on. TJT1 is on. Mickey 44 is on. Salty Gonads is on. Stefan Thomas is on. Buckeye Nut 1968 is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Lisa Kinzer's on. Mike Griffith is on. Dave Souders is on. Sexy Pony's on. Boy 7 Howdy is on. Let me see here. DK Jackson is on. Scooting down, scooting down, scooting down. Aaron Yeager, the producer, is on. Let me see here. Did I miss anybody? Gritadon is on. Let me see here. Just scooting down in case. Beckland 60 is on. All right, there we go. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Just one thing, one or two things off the pregame is that you saw the two names that have been removed from the Pentagon by Pete Hegseth. It's Dan Caldwell and Darren Selnick. We're talking about two high-ranking officials that have been removed for improper disclosure of, I don't know, whether it's classified, what do you call it, classified information, but it wasn't classified because it was probably off of the WhatsApp chat that they had or whatever you call it. Was it WhatsApp, Aaron? Was it something?
Signal.
Signal. Yeah, I get those two confused. So whether it was a signal situation or not, which was not classified, but it was information, they sensitive information they didn't want released. And two guys have been basically perp-walked out of the Pentagon. These are high-ranking officials, deputy chiefs of that sort of official, removed from the Pentagon. This is exactly what needs to happen. This is a great sign for the Trump administration. That means that Trump will not allow himself to be sabotaged and backdoored in this administration, as he was for the entire 4 years from 17 to 21. He was completely backdoored. He was trying to remove soldiers from certain deployments, and they were not removed. Found out, I mean, I'm talking about thousands of soldiers not removed because of Mark White Rage Milley and because of other people sabotaging him, CIA director sabotaging him, Chris Krebs from CISIS, was also backdooring him. All these different, we could go over it. There's a myriad of these various government officials that were backdooring Trump, sabotaging him in the first administration. It's not happening now. These people, as soon as they get caught, they are out because the people that are actually working for him are actually people that are loyal to Donald Trump. How dare he hire people that are loyal to him? Well, that's what Democrats do every single time. Eric Holder was called Obama's wingman as the attorney general. But Trump is supposed to hire people who aren't loyal to him. He's supposed to appoint people that aren't loyal to him. Well, Pete Hegseth is loyal. So before you, whoever it was AG with Bill Barr. That was his AG for a period of time. Bill Barr was his AG. I mean, these people are absolutely not loyal to. I mean, Jim Comey was in charge of the FBI. After him, Ron Rosenstein, Andrew McCabe. These are the people that were working for Trump. And you'll hear Democrats say, it was Trump's FBI because Trump didn't know any better. He honestly believed in the facade that you and I are always told to believe by the mainstream media, that there are these unbiased institutions, these unbiased NGOs, these unbiased government agencies that you just trust. And if you don't trust, you're an insurrectionist and a threat to the democracy. You're just supposed to trust them. Especially like when they say, well, this is a Bush nominee, as if that means anything. John Roberts is vacationing with his best friend, Norm Eisen, in the Czech Republic, and he's a Bush nominee. Doesn't mean anything. Republican doesn't mean anything unless basically you're MAGA. Otherwise, Republican doesn't mean anything. It means maybe Democrat light or just disguised Democrat is all that it means. All right, so let's look into this whole thing now with the Maryland dad, Abrego Garcia, the Maryland dad, the Maryland resident, the man from Maryland, the Maryland man, who's an illegal MS-13 immigrant into this country. I just want illegal alien. I don't even want to use the word immigrant because they didn't immigrate. They illegally invaded this country. So he's an illegal invader that has now become the Democratic Party cause. And desired earlier, please, I urge you, Democrats, run AOC for president. That's great. Thank you. Please do it. Please do. She's getting big crowds. Go get it. Run AOC. We would love that. And keep continuing your cause. Make your cause Abrego Garcia. We would love it. Please do it. Please make it your cause to fly down, as Senator Van Hollen's doing. Fly down to El Salvador, flying down to El Salvador, and try to secure the release of an illegal alien with a final order of removal from the United States, a final order of removal that was given to him in 2019, and bring him back into the United States. Make that your cause. I mean, we would love that. Run on it. Run on it. Make Abrego Garcia your campaign ads. We would love it. All right, Jack Posto video, Maryland man hoax. He was told that he's this great person. Turns out his wife put two restraining orders on him. Play it for me.
Well, folks, the Maryland man hoax is breaking. Senator Chris Van Hollen has just landed, I guess, in El Salvador, where he's on his way out to, I suppose he's on his way for a special visit with Abrego Garcia. You know, he's there. I don't know if this is one of those, you know, visits with special benefits, you know. Maybe it's more of a first aid kind of thing. Maybe he's not that kind of senator. Then again, he is from Maryland. So we'll see just how high his standards, if any, are. But the entire left is going in on this. The entire media, this massive political stunt is going on. And it is a political stunt, to be sure. By the way, this also proves once again that the Democrats are far better at political theater than Republicans, than conservatives, than even sometimes. Look, we couldn't even get a guy to go to Fort Knox. We couldn't even get a guy to go to Fort Knox, but the Democrats will go all the way down to El Salvador. The only problem is, of course, once again, the Democrats are supporting a criminal. Yes, whether it's Luigi Maggioni or Carmelo Anthony or now Abrego Garcia, the Democrats just can't quit their love affair with criminals. And of course, as we've been explaining for years at this point, this is part of a playbook. The only problem is, of course, the Democrats have been running around saying, oh, this, you know, this guy, he's so sweet, he's so innocent, he's kissed by an angel. But unfortunately, that's not the case, because his wife, who's out there giving all of these pleas, saying, please donate to our GoFundMe, please donate to our GoFundMe, she actually filed a restraining order on him in the state of Maryland. Kind of funny, by the way, how the entire media couldn't figure this out, and a local Maryland blog was able to pull it up, the Chesapeake Times. And so they're able to get it up, but nobody in the entire media was able to pull this together. She says she wants him home, and yet she kicked him out of the home and filed a restraining order on him. Or maybe, just maybe, it's all the money that's rolling in, because she saw the money rolling in for Carmelo Anthony's family that they're using to buy new cars, that they're using to get a new house. And she thinks, I want to get some of that for myself. It's disgusting, but understand, what you're looking at is a parasitic operation and a playbook that's been in place for a long, long
time. So you have the wife of Abrego Garcia. He's actually his wife. It's Kilmar Abrego Garcia, but I'm just going to call him Abrego Garcia for ease of conversation, or just Garcia, so you know what I'm talking about. His wife kicked him out of the house twice, which we'll get to in just a minute. But now she's doing all these press conferences. And if you ever watch one of these press conferences that she's doing, she is basically emotionless. I want him back. We long for the day when my children get to be reunited with their father. The reason why she has no emotion is she hates him. She's had him removed via domestic violence injunction twice from the house. Not a long time ago, 2020 and 2021. But all this money is pouring in for her right now. Hey, go do another. This is like Christine Blasey Ford. Christine Blasey Ford and her GoFundMe account made $600,000 to fly to D.C. and fly back to California all in a 36-hour period of time. 600 grand. Would you do something for 600 grand for 36 hours? 36 hours of work? 600 grand will not sell your soul like these idiots. I'm saying just anything else, would you? For an honest day's work for 36, 30, I would go out. I used to be a cop. I'll direct traffic for 36 straight hours. For 600 grand?
Yeah.
Who wouldn't? These people, it's just like, I haven't really covered it much because I'm waiting to see. I want to see a lot of the evidence in this case with the Carmelo Anthony stabbing. I want to see more evidence. But his family, allegedly, is buying things off of his GoFundMe account, the guy who stabbed the other kid to death. They're now cashing in on it also, allegedly cashing in on the money coming in on his GoFundMe, which is in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. So you just have to wonder why it is that she's emotionless. Just go over this real quick again, just so everybody understands. When it comes to Kilmar Abrego Garcia, he was rounded up as an MS-13 human trafficker in 2019. He was given a final order of removal, final order of deportation, a deportation order out of the country in 2019. He illegally, because he's already here illegally, could have been deported anytime. He illegally migrated into this country, illegally invaded this country in 2012, scooped up in 2019. He received what's called a withholding order on top of his final removal order. Thomas, confusing. I know. He got that withholding order because of the threat of the 18th Street gang in El Salvador, which is the rival gang of his MS-13 gang. So everybody who's out there, the Democrats say, you've never proven that he was an MS-13 member. His only reason why he got the withholding order that you are all putting all your cards in is because of the threat of his rival gang. How do you have a rival gang when you yourself are not part of a gang? I mean, again, to be a Democrat in 2025, you literally have to be brain dead. Which brings up this point, just side by side, this next one for me. How do you not look this up before you go to the wall? When you're Chris Van Hollen, who's the absolute poster child for cuckboy. Absolute, he's been bent over his entire freaking life. Bent over his entire life. Scared of his mom, scared of his wife, scared of every other man. Man pleaser, that's what he is. How do you, as Chris Van Hollen, before you use all those taxpayer dollars, because we know Democrats never spend their own money, they organize NGOs and make sure that Will, Aaron, me, and you pay for all of their expenditures where they go and actively work against us. So anyway, before you make that flight down to San Salvador, capital of El Salvador, before you make that flight down there, which you might want to do a background check into the person that you're defending, who has two restraining orders against this angel man, this angel of a person, this Maryland dad, who beat his wife. Here it is, Abigail Jackson. This illegal MS-13 member Democrats want to bring back to America. Already, as a final order of removal. Oh, the withholding order no longer applies because that gang, the 18th Street gang, no longer exists in El Salvador. So a simple court hearing would have removed the withholding order anyway, which if you bring him back, which will be exactly what happens, and he'll be flown right back. So let's waste another couple hundred thousand taxpayer dollars flying him back so the withholding order can be removed and then flying back to CCOT. That makes a whole lot of sense, doesn't it, Aaron? Let's yeah. do that. That makes a lot of sense. That's what it means. That's what you're an advocate for when you're a Democrat in 2025. That's why there's so much against Elon Musk, waste, fraud, and abuse. You have Van Hollen flying down there, wants to get him flying back, have the withholding order removed, have his final deportation order executed, sent right back to CCOT. So they'll spend millions of dollars bringing him back and forth. They don't care. It's waste, fraud, and abuse. The wife of deported Salvadorian migrant Kilmar Abrego Garcia accused her husband of violently beating her multiple times. You know that if you finally go for the injunction, there is 100 occasions before that woman finally goes for an injunction. How do you know, Tom? I was just a cop for 25 years. I know. That's how I know. Just a little bit from the Gateway Pundit. Gateway Pundit has revealed that Abrego Garcia had two protective orders for domestic violence filed against him by his wife, Jennifer Vasquez. One of these was in 2020, the other in 2021. Court documents showed he repeatedly scratched and beat his helpless wife on multiple occasions, yet the media remained strangely silent. Very strange, isn't it? Let's go to the next one. Robbie Starbuck. So let's chronicle Chris Van Hollen. Let's do that because Chrissy, we're going to henceforth called Chrissy. Chrissy Van Hollen, cuckboy's entire life, cuckboy now, cuckboy in the past, will be a cuckboy in the future. Will do anything as a political whore to gain some sort of favor with somebody. Anything. He'll do anything to curry favor. So Robbie Starbuck video. Here's Sean Hannity, Rachel Morin's mother, speaking on Sean Hannity. Robbie Starbuck titles the video, at Chris Hollen, you couldn't even be bothered to call a mom. See, people don't, again, Rachel Morin, where did she live? In Maryland. How come we didn't see all these articles about Maryland mom of five, brutally raped and murdered by an illegal? Chris Van Hollen never even called her, never visited her, but he flies all the way down to El Salvador to get an MS-13 member released to be brought back to Maryland to then go to an ICE hearing and then be brought right back to El Salvador and be put back in CCOT. But he doesn't even bother to call the mother of a woman who was brutally raped and murdered by an illegal that he's an advocate for staying. Play for me.
What are your thoughts on your senator going to bat for this illegal, but did he ever say anything to you and your family about your loss, to ever call you, ever take the time to be with you?
No, actually, I'm very angry. I'm actually outraged, but I'm too sad at the moment to show anger at the same time. He did not call our family. He did not give condolences. There was no action on the Democratic Party in any way, from Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Mayorkas, anyone here in Maryland, none of the senators did anything to help search for the murderer of my daughter.
Not only was there no call, he didn't call her, didn't visit her, he didn't even offer public condolences because he's an advocate for keeping people in the country that murdered her daughter. He knows it. That's why there's no call. There's no condolences because of the guilt, because he wants to keep people that murdered her daughter in the country. He wants to keep illegals in the country. So there's no call. There's no condolences. There's no visit. There's really no even public acknowledgement of what happened, because then he would have to accept that he himself was at fault for the murder and rape of this woman, because he's an advocate to keep illegals in the country. So that's why there's no call, there's no condolences whatsoever. So he doesn't care at all about that. So let's run these next two videos, these two Senator Chris Van Hollen videos. You can run them consecutively, guys, one right after the other without coming back to me. Because here's Chrissy now. Absolutely world-renowned cuckboy. I mean, seriously. I mean, these little, put that pic side by side. I just want to show you, like, Tom, get over it. I can't get over it. That should say, I'm cuckboy underneath it, right there. I mean, the people like this are the most repulsive human beings in the world. They are people pleasers, room pleasers. They will do anything and say anything to try to get the people in the room to like them. They will say anything. If he had to be a Republican, he'd be a Republican. If he had to be a Democrat, he'd be a Democrat. If he had to be pro-life for a minute, he'd be pro-life. He can gladly execute the unborn. He has absolutely no moral compass or rudder at all. He is a man pleaser. All he cares about is making sure that he's accepted in the room, that he gets invited to all the DC cocktail parties. That's all that men like him. I hate to even call him a man because he barely qualifies as a man. But let's follow. Here's what Chris cared about. Remember now, Rachel Morin's mother, no call, no condolences, no visit, no public acknowledgement that her daughter was raped and murdered by the people he allows in the country. He's an advocate for open borders. Because of those open borders, her daughter was raped and murdered, mother of five, and now would have been a grandmother of one. He doesn't care about that American citizen at all. What he cares about is an illegal MS-13 border invader who illegally entered our country in 2012 and was given a final order of removal in 2019. That's what he cares about. Look how passionate he is about going down and trying to secure his release. Play it for me.
I'm here at the airport. I'm about to board my flight for San Salvador. The goal of this mission is to let the Trump administration, to let the government of El Salvador know that we are going to keep fighting to bring Abrego Garcia home until he returns to his family. I hope to meet with representatives of the government. I hope to have the chance to actually see Kilmar and see what his condition is. But we are going to keep fighting because this is a miscarriage of justice. The Supreme Court has ruled 9-0, that he was illegally taken out of the country and put in a prison in El Salvador. And this is about due process. This is about rule of law. What bullies do is they begin by picking on the most vulnerable. But if we get rid of the rule of law, due process, the United States, it's a short road from there to tyranny.
I just landed at the airport in San Salvador a little while ago. I'm now en route into the city, looking forward to meeting with the team from the American Embassy. And I do want to thank our Foreign Service officers and the whole team at this embassy and embassies around the world for all the good work they do on behalf of our country. I'm proud to co-chair the bipartisan Foreign Service Caucus that stands up for the men and women who are serving our country overseas and at home in the State Department. After that, I hope to meet with some high-level government officials from El Salvador. As I've said before, the goal of my visit is to talk to people here about the release of Kilmar Abrego Garcia. I told his wife and his family I would do everything possible to bring him home, and we're going to keep working at this until we're successful. I also hope to have the chance to meet with him, but we'll have a better idea if that works out a little later on.
It's like his own little personal video blog series. And one of the things too, I'm wondering why it is that he didn't show any of the video of himself on the plane, because was he flying first class at taxpayer expense? I would just like to know that. No pics of his flight. And remember that 9-0 ruling that we're hearing from all these Democrats like Chrissy Van Hollen was that the Trump administration didn't have to bring this person back. It was facilitated bringing him back, which means if the El Salvadorian government, Nayib Bukele, said, you know what, we'd like to have him come back and we're willing to help, then you have to facilitate it. In other words, send down a plane, you have to facilitate. But does Bukele want to send him back? No, he's already home. He's home. He lives in El Salvador. He lived in El Salvador until 2012. He spent most of his life in El Salvador as an MS-13 gang member, which is why he fled to the United States, because he was in a conflict with another gang. Not seeking asylum from the government, which is the only reason why you would ever qualify as an asylee, is if you are being persecuted by the country that you are leaving, government. Not a rival gang inside of the government, because you're part of a gang and you're having a gang war with another gang. You don't get asylum in our country for that. So even his reasons for claiming asylum are completely wrong. So remember, Chrissy, he was hoping, quote, to meet with high-level government officials. Now, what he's doing in and of itself is a violation of the Logan Act. He's not even allowed to go there and do this. He's not allowed to even go there and try to secure the release of a Trump administration deportee. This is the Trump administration's policies. You're like, well, it's been in the court there. It's not been settled yet. He has no right to go there and do any of this. He's actually committing a crime. And all of these people need to be prosecuted. We're going to get to, I'll make sure before we go that we're getting to Big Tish. It's actually up next. Big Tish is up next. Because Big Tish, come around, like Johnny Cash says, go around, you can go for a long, long time. Sooner or later, God's going to cut you down. And Big Tish is going down. But this guy here, he needs, Chrissy Van Hollen, he needs to be criminally prosecuted for violating the Logan Act. So remember, he was hoping to meet with high-level government officials. Let's see how it went. Ali Bradley tweet, I'm just going to read this, guys. It's not for you. Here's the article. At Chris Hollen says his request made to the VP of El Salvador to visit Kilmar Abrego Garcia was denied. I love it. This is where I miss cussing because I'd like to use a word, use a specific word, and then slapped right after it. That's because that's what happened to him. The senator said he was told by the vice. So he made his request. Made to the VP of El Salvador to visit Garcia was denied. The senator said he was told by the vice president, you need to make earlier provisions to visit CECOT. So you don't just get to fly down there. He didn't call any government official. He didn't make arrangements. He just decided to fly down there and impromptu show up. And notice he didn't get to meet with the president. He got the vice president. So he got turned down, rebuked with prejudice by the VP. Love it. He's not good enough. He's not worthy to meet with Bukele. Van Hollen says he wasn't able to meet with Abreu Garcia or have a phone conversation with him. Slap down again, cuck boy. The vice president told him if the American embassy were to ask, who runs the American embassy, Aaron? Trump administration. Mm-hmm. There you go. So good luck with that, Chrissy. Good luck, Chrissy. The ambassador to El Salvador is a Trump administration official. Good luck with that, Chrissy. So now, how many hundreds of thousands of dollars have been wasted for Chrissy to fly down to El Salvador to be turned down with prejudice? All of his requests turned down with prejudice. I love it. I love it. Let's see. The senator now calling on Bukele, the president, to let Abrego Garcia walk out of the prison and come back to the U.S., saying he was abducted. He had a final order of removal. How could he have been abducted? Final order of removal. I don't even agree that anybody should even need a final order of removal. If you're illegal, you should have it. Your being illegal should automatically designate you for a final order of removal. But he has an actual final order of removal. How's he abducted? Imagine, to be a Democrat in 2025, you have to believe that somebody with a final order of removal to be deported out of this country, and when that order is actually honored, is abducted. That's what you have to believe. The Trump administration maintains that Abrego Garcia is a member of MS-13. President Bukele says he is not going to release Garcia to smuggle him into the United States. So let's go a little deeper into Chrissy Van Hollen. Let's look at his own state. We know that when you have a mother of five murdered and raped by an illegal, that he doesn't call the mother, he doesn't visit the mother, or publicly acknowledge the crime because he knows that he's at fault for the crime, for allowing the illegal invasion to begin with and supporting it, especially in the state of Maryland, which is a sanctuary state, which means they should not receive any federal funding. So let's look at this, shall we? Let's look at this. How safe is his state? So let's go to Baltimore, shall we? This is a Congressman Brandon Gill video. Would you describe Baltimore, who is under Chrissy Van Hollen's jurisdiction? Would you describe Baltimore as a safe city? Here's the mayor of Baltimore. Play for me.
Would you describe Baltimore as a safe city?
What's your definition of safe?
I'm asking you, is Baltimore a safe city? Is it the kind of city that you would want to raise a family and maybe go jogging in without having to be worried about being murdered or raped?
I grew up in Baltimore. My family is in Baltimore. My mother still lives in the same house in West Baltimore.
Is it a safe city?
60-plus years, so the answer is definitely yes.
You think Baltimore is a safe city?
Of course it is.
Okay, do you know what the homicide rate is in Baltimore?
Exactly, no.
It's about 35 per 100,000. Do you know what the homicide rate is in the rest of the United States?
No, I don't.
I can tell you that the homicide rate in Baltimore is about 5 times the national average. Do you know how Baltimore's robbery rate compares to the rest of the United States?
At the moment, no, I don't.
You don't? It's about 8.4 times the national average. Do you know how Baltimore's assault rate compares to the national average?
No, I don't.
It's about 3.4 times higher. Does that sound like a safe city to you?
Safe to me and my family members.
So that's safe to you? 5 times higher than the national average for homicides? That's a safe city?
Perception.
It's what? Excuse me?
It said it's what the, for instance, it's perception. It's what you feel as a resident in Baltimore City.
If you're murdered, I don't think it matters what you feel, do you? Is it your testimony that the safety
Baltimore City
depends on how people feel?
To me, Baltimore City is a safe city.
To you, it's a safe city. I don't think it's safe to the people who are being murdered every single weekend there.
Yeah, I think it's pretty safe for the mayor, who has a security detail of armed guards, the very ones that he outlaws for you and me, lives behind the walls that he outlaws for you and I. And he says it's safe for me and my family. Yeah, because his entire family has security. So for him and his family, it's very safe. This is the absolute dream of the bourgeois leftist globalist elitist. They themselves are secure. You're not, so you beg them for security. And when you beg them for security, you have to relinquish all your rights and endlessly vote them into power. That's the point of it all. So the Baltimore mayor, he says it's all a matter of perception, whether you're safe or not. Really? So the murder rate being 5 times the national average has nothing to do with whether Baltimore's safe. It's just about how you feel. I just ignore the fact that I'm 5 times more likely to be murdered in Baltimore. You just ignore it, and I just go with how I feel. So as long as I'm playing a jazzy song like Skippity Doo-Dah in my headphones and march down the streets, as long as I feel safe, I'm safe, according to this brilliant politician, Baltimore mayor, who works under, well, not really connected in that way, but is under the jurisdiction of Chrissy Van Hollen, doesn't give two craps about the biggest city in his state. He's flying down to San Salvador, to El Salvador. He's flying down there, that's what he really cares about, to release a criminal back into Maryland that's already been deported, all the while Baltimore, his biggest city, has a murder rate that's 5 times the national average. You know what you need? When you have a murder rate that's 5 times the national average, you know what you need? You need more murderers. That's what it means to be Chrissy Van Hollen and a Democrat in 2025. Robbery rate 8.4 times the national average. And the mayor says that it's a safe city because it's safe for him and his family. Safe for him and his family. It reminds me of the debate with Tucker Carlson and Eric Swalwell, where he's simply asking, shouldn't my family be able to have the same amount of firepower that your family has, that your security detail has? And Swalwell says, that's a ridiculous argument. How's it a ridiculous argument that you are allowed, Swalwell, to have armed security, have walls with guards, and we're not? Because he's so important. Because he's Eric Swalwell, Chinese acolyte. Chinese sleeps with a Chinese spy. Chinese asset, Eric Swalwell. The assault rate in Baltimore, 3.4 times the national average. But according to the mayor and Chris Van Hollen, because there's no priority, Chris Van Hollen's in El Salvador today, not trying to solve the crimes in his biggest city. He's down in El Salvador. Look at this next one. Go to the next one for me. Lives a TikTok tweet. Breaking. ICE in Baltimore. This is from yesterday. Chris Van Hollen. Where's Chris Van Hollen at? El Salvador. But ICE in Baltimore arrested a twice deported Guatemalan that Chris Van Hollen wants to stay. He wants to stay. And if he did get deported, Chris Van Hollen would probably fly down to Guatemala to fly him back. That's what it means to be a Democrat in 2025. Please run on those causes. Twice deported Guatemalan illegal alien who's charged with murder and assault. Oh, yeah, there we go. 5 times the national average. For murder, 8 times the national average for assault. He fits right into their statistical data. He was arrested in 2024, and the local law enforcement, after being charged with murder and assault, the local law enforcement, under Chris Van Hollen, under the Baltimore mayor, refused to honor the ICE detainer request and released him back into the streets. And I can't remember what city it was, but I think it was Baltimore, who released a child sex predator back into the streets, and he reoffended. Imagine being a Democrat and voting for this. You won't be voting for this anymore when you're the one who's victimized by one of these people. But you, until then, you're not worried about it. That's why it's all the college educated white women and their minivans and their lopped off hair that vote for Democrats, because they're never actually touched by the policies they vote for. It's people in the inner cities, not the suburbanites yet, it's the people in the inner cities who actually are victims of the policies of these liberal white college educated women. Keep them in. And I saw somebody decrying today the conditions at CCOT and how they're all pressed together and they're treated inhumanely. Okay, if you were actually to watch the crimes that these men committed, would you feel the same way? Do you have a logical thought in your mind? So it means to be a Democrat in 2025. Completely illogical and nonsensical. I could spend all night on this, but I'm going to change subjects. Let's go to Big Tish James, who's in big, big trouble. Big, this is real. Put side by side that. I want to emphasize it too, because Big Tish keeps getting bigger. She keeps getting bigger. I don't know what diet she's not on. I don't know what it is, because she's not been in office that long, and she's put on like 70, 80 pounds. 70 or 80 pounds. She needs to like mix in some sort of non-fat foods. She should do it. But anyway, Big Tish, Carly Bonet video. This is from Laura Ingraham on Fox. A little bit long, three minutes, 37 seconds, but it outlines the case against Tish James. Play for me.
Our respective states stand up and enforce the rule of law. The president of these United States is not above the law.
No matter how rich, powerful, or politically connected you are, everyone must play by the same rules.
Will you sue him for us?
Oh, we're going to definitely sue him. We're going to be a real pain in the
And now the Trump Justice Department may be a pain in her you-know-what. The Angle has obtained shocking allegations leveled by the Trump administration against New York Attorney General Letitia James. The Federal Housing Finance Agency has sent a criminal referral to the DOJ accusing James of mortgage fraud. In a letter to Attorney General Pam Bondi, Director Bill Pulte says James appears to have falsified records in order to meet certain lending requirements and receive favorable loan terms. He cited a property in Virginia that she's allegedly claimed as her principal residence and a property in New York that she claimed as a four-unit structure instead of the required, instead of a five, which Pulte says means she was able to get a different type and more favorable loan. Joining me now is Jonathan Turley, Fox News contributor and law professor at GW University. Jonathan, you know, mortgage fraud is rampant in the United States. There's all sorts of fraud that's rampant. There's disability fraud that they've vowed to crack down on in the Trump administration. But this is another thing that they have vowed to crack down on because it costs real money. Your reaction to these allegations?
Well, obviously, the irony is perfectly crushing. This is a person who prosecuted Trump for everything short of ripping a label off a mattress. And among the charges that were brought in New York in not just the civil but the criminal case was making false or misleading statements to financial institutions. And one of these sections, Section 1014 of the federal code, is prosecuted. It took me about 60 seconds of a search to find cases that the Department of Justice brought against people who falsely claimed that property was their principal residence in order to get loans. So this is well-tread areas for the Justice Department. As for James, if we apply the Letitia James standard that she created, there'd be little question here. This seems pretty straightforward. What the administration is saying is this was not her principal residence. In fact, as a New York elected official, she had to say that her principal residence was in New York. This was an out-of-state residence. But also, they claim that in some of these forms, she actually states that her father is her husband in order to file as a married couple. So there's a lot of those questions. And as you know, the Supreme Court just stated earlier in March in a case called Thompson that they want to see knowing false statements under sections like 1014, not just misleading statements. These are misleading statements. Either it's your principal residence or it's not.
Or it's not.
Either you're married to your father or he's your father. So this can satisfy the Thompson standard.
Again, just backgrounding this, I know most of you don't need it to be background, but remember, she's the one who initiated the Trump. So many different cases. It's hard to remember the Enjeron case, the Mershon case, the E. Jean Carroll. All those different cases all really came from Letitia James, orchestrated by Letitia James, paid for by Reid Hoffman. A background, of course, is always Norm Eisen. But anyway, this was the real estate case. Remember, now hers is actually felonious crime. But she went after Donald Trump for civil real estate fraud. And this is the difference between civil. Civil is a speeding ticket. Criminal is reckless driving. Hope everybody gets the difference. It's, and you'll hear Democrats conflate those things right now, saying that it's a civil offense to cross the border illegally. That's incorrect. Civil offense is, again, like a speeding ticket. It is actually a criminal offense to cross the border illegally under federal statute. It's very clear. It's very easy. And there's even Democratic Party lawyers who say it. And of course, I mean, as if that gives them any measure of credibility these days, but they say it and they're completely and totally wrong. But anyway, this has to do going back to the civil case against Donald Trump orchestrated by Letitia James, where he ends up with a $500 million fine. And remember, the people that he was doing business with, Donald Trump, was primarily Deutsche Bank. He paid back all the loans on time with interest and even early. And the Deutsche Bank came to the trial and said, we'd love to do business with him. Again, we are not victims. How could there be a victim when there is no victim? How could there be a victim when nobody was victimized? They got back all their money. She said it was because he misevaluated Mar-a-Lago to get a loan. Isn't that what everybody does? I'm not saying on purpose, but you can misevaluate. So if you misevaluate it low, you're getting a loan. You're committing civil real estate fraud. Isn't that what, I'm not saying that people try to, of course, maximize the value of their property. I'm not saying purposely lie about it. I'm saying everybody maximizes it. I mean, if I had Aaron and Will come over to my house and I said, you guys tell me what you think my house is worth, we all would have a different number. All of us would have a different number about what it's worth. So if I put down Will's number and Will's is too low, I'm guilty of civil real estate fraud. And if I put down Aaron's and it's too high, I'm guilty of civil real estate fraud. That's what she did. That's all the case was. That's all the case was. It wasn't even in writing. And after, and when Donald Trump says, say, you know, he put down Mar-a-Lago is worth, $100 million. And Deutsche Bank is just going to loan it off of his word? No, they go and do what's called an appraisal. You're like, how does this get prosecuted? There's no way, because all you need is a Judge Engeron, that wacko, weirdo perv. That's all you need. You're like, yeah, but there was an appraisal done by the alleged victim. And they came up with, agreed with Donald Trump's assessment. And they loaned him the money. They did their own independent appraisal. Nobody loans money based on the word of the person receiving the loan. Nobody does that. Even if your last name is Trump, nobody does that. They did their own appraisal. But all you need is an Engeron. And you're like, yeah, but all the evidence is exculpatory. All the evidence shows that he's innocent. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Everybody needs to stop living under the delusion that anybody's impartial, because nobody is. Engeron is a globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist Democratic Party activist, as is Juan Merchan and his daughter with the 34 felony convictions, which is a joke too, where they're mind-reading Donald Trump about whether something's a campaign contribution or a legal expense. But it was all paid and it was all documented. Nothing's denied. Nobody gained anything. Nobody lost anything, but yet he's guilty of 34 felony convictions. Now, this is all orchestrated by big and getting bigger by the minute, Tish James. So now, though, Tishy, again, be not deceived. And she loves to quote Bible verses wrongly, but she likes to quote Bible verses. And I love people who are absolute baby butchering, hellbound sinners quoting Bible verses. I love it. I love it. You're just asking for the wrath of God. You're just asking for God to come after you. So here, in this case here, she owns real estate. Somehow she owns a lot. She's worth a lot of money. She's worth millions of dollars. Even though she's never made even close to $1 million a year, she somehow is worth millions of dollars again. Is it from speaking engagements from Democratic Party NGOs that you and I finance through our tax dollars? Probably. But anyway, so she owns an apartment complex. And she falsified the amount of units in the apartment complex so she could get a lower rate on the loan. And she did. And by the way, this isn't like misevaluating the value of the property. This is a bold-faced freaking lie on paper, and it's called fraud. And it's a crime. When you say that there is four units Because that's the cutoff. You don't want any more than 4 units. Because if there's more than 4 units, you don't get the discounted government loan rate. So she said that there was only 4 units when there was actually 5. Bold-faced lie, signed it, and committed fraud. She also claimed that a resident, somehow this woman who's never made more than $200,000-$300,000 a year, is a multi-millionaire with multiple residences that she owns. And she claims that a residence in Virginia is her primary residence, automatically disqualifying her to be the Attorney General of the state of New York. Right now, everything that she's done, everything that she's orchestrated against Donald Trump has now been made invalid because she doesn't claim to be a resident of New York. Just like all the auto pen pardons are invalid. This is more invalid. She doesn't even qualify to be the AG because she claimed her primary residence is in Virginia on paper, committing fraud so that she gets a more favorable loan rate. Committing fraud, the very thing she accused Donald Trump of. But hers is criminal, his is civil, and his wasn't even an offense. Hers is. It's on paper, and it's a bold-faced lie. And allegedly on multiple documents, again, to get a lower rate, she claimed that her dad, this must be a Democratic Party thing, was, in fact, her husband. So she marries her dad, Ilhan Omar marries her brother. Must be a Democratic Party thing. Incest is best is what they need to run on, I guess, in 2026. And all of this is on paper. She's freaking finished. She's finished. Because this is not a New York case. This is a federal case. And Pam Bondi has already referred it for prosecution or for investigation. So we need to see how it all pans out, but there's nowhere to run. She signed that her daddy was her husband. She signed that it was a 4-unit apartment complex when it was a 5. She claimed that her Virginia residence was her primary residence. That doesn't just disqualify her as AG. That is a crime because she got a discounted rate to lie. It's called fraud. And now you have this Thompson case that came out and said, you know, we need on these cases like this, we need knowingly false statements. And this is all under 1014, federal code 1014. And as Jonathan Turley said, this is all clear. You want knowingly false statements? You got it. She said 5 units instead of 4. She claimed her dad was her husband. And she claimed her primary residency was in Virginia. The woman's finished. Go to the next one for me. Trump War Room, U.S. Federal Housing Finance Director at Pulte has referred New York Attorney General Letitia James to the DOJ. So she's been referred to Pam Bondi. Pam Bondi didn't make the referral. To the DOJ for alleged mortgage fraud. Just wanted you to see it and see the official documents. Go to the next one for me. All right, Davery Dawkins video. Remember Letitia James loves to say, no one's above the law. Play it for me.
Well, 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 the tables have turned. New York Attorney General Letitia James, who on Valentine's Day of last year posted this message to President Trump. Roses are red, violets are blue. No one is above the law, even when you think the rules don't apply to you. How sweet. But, you know, she's in some hot water. The U.S. Federal Housing Agency is sending a letter to Attorney General Pam Bondi to investigate James for alleged mortgage fraud, for allegedly, in multiple instances, falsifying bank documents and property records to acquire government-backed assistance and loans and more favorable loan terms. President Trump commented on the news having this to say. James, a totally corrupt politician, should resign from her position as New York State Attorney General immediately. Everyone is trying to make New York great again, and it can never be done with this wacky crook in office.
Ooh. One. So let's look at her statements, shall we? Because it's really interesting, really fun. Until Aaron gets me the next one, Will, just give me that next one up with Tish James. Or no, if you got it, just throw it on there. So anyway, then we'll go to the next one after that. But anyway, I just wanted to show you her various pronouncements. This is what she really believes in. What's Valentine's Day? February 14th?
Yes.
Like, Tom, you should not. No, I don't care about it. So anyway, Tom, your wife will be offended. I don't care about that either. So anyway, Tish James, love my wife. I'm just saying we don't worry about that Valentine's Day bullcrap. But anyway, Tish James, roses are red. So this is February 14th, 2024. Roses are red, violets are blue. No one is above the law, even when you think the rules don't apply to you. Oh, who was it that the rules don't apply to, Big Tishy? Big Tush James. I mean, who is it that doesn't think that the rules apply to them? Again, I'm just going to keep this thing right on the tip of my tongue. When you said that there was 4 units instead of 5, so you get a low rate. You said that your residency is in, your primary residency is in Virginia, just qualifying you to be AG and committing a fraud, a felonious fraud, by doing that to get a lower rate and defraud the bank, and claiming that your dad was, in fact, your husband to also defraud the bank. Roses are red, Big Tish. Violets are blue. No one is above the law, even when you think the rules don't apply to you. Go to the next one for me. So here's another thing. Remember, this was put out at 5:30. This was even put out after that. 5:30, 24. No one is above the law. She rejoices at convicting Donald Trump of crimes that he didn't commit when she actually committed the crime she accused him of committing herself. All right, let's go to the next one. Lives a TikTok video. Hey, oh, she's all, this is her. Now, this is from like yesterday or today. She's all excited now. She's all fired up. And I'm sorry to, I want to just apologize on behalf of the TLP podcast right now. Because this is the most annoying voice, shrill, screaming. This is what people do. This is the dying, as Steve Bannon says, the dying screams of a dying regime. So this is it. This is her trying to deflect. And look at her put all of her hopes in the 2026 election with Hakeem Jeffries. We'll discuss that. Play it for me.
My mission is clear. I'm focused. I'm prepared. I'm ready. I've been trained by the best. I went to Howard University. That overturned legal segregation in this country. I've been taught in those classrooms where Thurgood Marshall once taught. I'm not afraid of no president. Donald Trump, we're ready for you. We're coming for you. We're standing up for you. We're fighting on. We're not going down silent. Victory, my friends, is clear. It's now. And I'm not waiting 4 years. I'm waiting two until a speaker by the name of Hakeem Jeffries comes to bring us some rest. Come on, ladies. It's up to us. We saved this democracy before. We'll save it now. Let's go.
So I guess saving democracy means being able to commit bank fraud. Because she's being accused of that. So in order to save democracy, you have to be okay with bank fraud, because that's what democracy is. Because that's what she's done. She's committed mortgage and bank fraud. And she's out flailing around trying to deflect. And she's really hoping that in 2 years from now, Hakeem Jeffries will be elected Speaker of the House. But here's the thing, even though she says she's focused and prepared and coming after Trump, and was trained at Howard University, which, I mean, that's just the bastion of great training. I mean, wonderful human beings have arisen out of Howard University, which includes like her and Kamala Harris and people like that. But anyway, so even if Hakeem Jeffries becomes Speaker of the House, which let's all hope that doesn't happen because I just vomited in my mouth a little bit. But anyway, if he doesn't control the DOJ. Sorry, Chicky. You can do all you want. Unless he absolutely has the power to defund the DOJ, which in order for him to do that, there would have to be a lot of hoops that have to be crossed for him to do that, including a signing from Donald Trump and a veto-proof majority in the Senate. Good luck with all that. She thinks that that's going to save her. Notice how she's screaming and she's yelling again. She's focused. She's trained. How is she trained? She's prepared. But notice she never said that she was innocent. She's focused, though. She's trained and she's prepared. And she went to Howard University and sat in classrooms where Thurgood Marshall taught classes. But she never actually claimed that she didn't say that her father was her husband. Or that she claimed four instead of five, or a primary residency in Virginia. She never claimed any of those things weren't in fact true. Which, by the way, they're all on documents. There's no way for her to fix it. If any of that is true, it's over. It's over. And now you have the man that you tried to destroy his life sitting there with now your life in his hands. Good luck with that, Big Tish. Good luck. All right, let's go to the next one. Heading into Trump now. Mike Benz tweet. Breaking, the U.S. State Department has just placed all 30 full-time staff at the, get this now, Global Engagement Center. That's not even an NGO. That's actually a part of the State Department. Fully staffed by Democratic Party activists inside of the government. It's not just NGOs. As I said, a lot of it is actual NGOs, and then there's NGOs inside of government agencies, and this is one of them. Global Engagement Center. That sounds like something great, isn't it? How many of you have ever benefited from the Global Engagement Center? We're $37 trillion in debt, and this gets $50 million a year. $50 million a year it gets for free. Does nothing. Accomplishes nothing. Has no vision. Never helps anybody, but they get $50 million a year because that's what America is all about. Is creating institutions to be fully staffed by Democrats and then pay Democrats seven-figure salaries to run those agencies. And what they do is they give them $50 million. That's a small amount, but we'll just use that number since we are talking about the Global Engagement Center. They give them $50 million. And what they're supposed to do is actually disseminate that money. That's what they're supposed to do with the $50 million. They're not really supposed to do that, but that's what their mission statement says. We're going to give away the $50 million as part of the Global Engagement Center. We're going to go help various communities. But what they do with the $50 million is actually pay themselves $49 million to disseminate 1 million of the 50 million. That's what everything's about. Every last thing is about that. Every government agency, including the Pentagon, everything is about that. Just so you know, they start off with $100 billion. And they're supposed to give away 90 out of that. Pay themselves $10 billion to give away the $90 billion. And when I say give away, I mean various things, whether it's feeding the hungry, whether it's military operations, whatever it is. When I say give away, spend it righteously. Make sense so far, Aaron?
Yeah.
That's what they're supposed to do. So they're given $100 billion, right, to do that. And they pay themselves, which is an exorbitant amount, $10 billion to give away the $90. But it's actually reversed. They pay themselves $90 billion to give away the $10. That's what's happening in every single government agency. That's why we're $37 trillion in debt. And we get nothing back. Will goes and fights in a war. Why don't we have all the oil from Iraq? Why? Why? Will came back unscathed, at least physically. I don't know if he's had issues emotionally or anything of fighting in a war. But I'm just saying, he came back unscathed. A lot of his friends did not. Why are they not all multimillionaires? Because they're missing a leg or their face was blown off. Why are they not? We should own the Iraqi oil. Why are we not getting tribute every year? Because it's not about that. That wouldn't enrich a Democrat or a rhino Republican like a Mittens Willard Romney or a Susan Collins or a Lisa Murkowski or a Mitch McConnell or whoever else you want to name, John Cornyn and the rest of them. That all enrich themselves off of these NGOs that they form using our taxpayer dollars. So one of these now is being cut down. Again, through the Trump administration. I don't know if Elon has anything to do with it. No, this is all Marco Rubio. I want to give credit where credit is due. Tom, you've been harshly critical of Marco. Hey, you know what? Anybody can be redeemed. So far, so good. And man, I hit him hard because I didn't like his body language early on. But you know what? So far, so good. Could he be a deep state operative? Could he be a part of like the two guys that got perp walked out of the Pentagon? Could be, but not so far. Doing a great job. Public statements, excellent. So Engagement Center's remnant, known as RFIMI, on leave, eliminated all 50 full-time staff positions, delivered a notice to Congress ending RFIMI's existence and $65 million in funding. Cut now because they accomplish nothing and do nothing except for hire Democrats. We would then hire Democrats for speaking engagements. That's all that they do. All right, so here's an explanation of this agency. Can you put the previous?
RFIMI.
Yeah, no, but I want that full name, the Global Engagement. I want to get it right. Just put up the previous for me. Thank you, guys. The Global Engagement Center, now known as, Aaron's got it, RFIMI, but I just, Global Engagement Center is better. So here is an explanation. You're good now. Here's an explanation from the Ben Shapiro Show with Marco Rubio of what they have been on and about doing. Play for me.
So let's talk about this major move that you just made at the State Department, getting rid of a big chunk of the censorship bureaucracy that had been created and pushed a while back, but then exacerbated over the course of the last few years, hidden. What's the story with what you are doing over at the State Department to get rid of the body formerly known as the Global Engagement Center?
Yeah, I think you have to understand the history behind it. It's real brief. You know, they started it by saying, you know, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, all these terrible groups are radicalizing people online. We should do something about it. And, you know, back when they came up with that 12 years ago, whatever it was, people are like, well, you know, it makes sense. And then it metastasized. And it's like, oh, there's foreign interference in our elections. We need to start going after that. Well, then by 2020, it became a movement to go after voices inside of American politics and begin to label people. Then they put a guy in charge who basically was going around saying Trump speaks just like these foreign terrorists, his supporters speak just like these foreign terrorists. So now you have an individual running a State Department entity that was labeling American speech by Americans as foreign interference. And then really the kicker was, not only were they doing all that formally from the State Department, but they were taking State Department money and they were giving it to these third party groups who were supposed to be like independent, you know, verified arbiters of what's true and what isn't, what's good and what's bad. And these groups were deliberately targeting, I believe you were one of the ones they targeted, I think the Federalists, begin putting labels on people. Now, you may say, okay, well, what's the importance of the label? Well, that's not just the issue here. The issue is not only did they put labels on people, that was then used to go to social media companies. It was used to go to outlets and say, you have to deplatform these people, or you have to cut back on how much views they're getting. You have to go after them, in essence, silence them. So in essence, it metastasized and the metamorphosis into a government-run entity that was targeting political speech in America, labeling it disinformation, and silencing it. All paid for by the American taxpayers directly and indirectly. And that ends. Now, so what happened when we took over, right before we took over, they got rid of this Global Engagement Center. They renamed it and moved it somewhere else. But, you know, renaming something doesn't change it. You still leave the thing around. So we've undertaken, you know, 12 weeks of looking, how do we reorganize this whole thing? How do we get rid of it? And that's what we're announcing today, is we're taking the whole thing down. And it's about $50 million. I mean, it's not a small amount of money. And we're not going to be in the business of doing this anymore. In fact, we're going to be in the business of promoting free speech in America and around the world as a core American value. And that really is what we're going to be about right now. And we're also going to go back and look at, you know, as an accountability project, all of the instances in which this was used as a weapon against American political voices. And the reason why that's important is not just because of accountability, it's to make sure it never happens again. You document these things so that someone in the future, when they get some bright idea like this, realize, you know, why we shouldn't do it, because this is what it turns into.
And Secretary Rubio, it's a really good object lesson in what happens with some of these government agencies, which start off decades ago with the right purposes and then gradually are infiltrated by people with a significant political partisan agenda, who then proceed to weaponize these institutions against Americans. We've seen this in USAID. Obviously, we see this here with the GEC turned into another sort of body that was then hidden inside these agencies. And when people like President Trump talk about the deep state, this is the kind of stuff that he's talking about.
All right, so there we go. So anyway, so what they did was they go, okay, they knew that this was, that the Global Engagement Center was about to be, they knew it would be, that it would be in danger. Because all it is part of the censorship complex, which I'll get to in just a second. So they renamed themselves to try to hide to, from Global Engagement Center to RFIMI, whatever that is. So they just try to change their name. Then other agencies try to do the same thing. Doesn't work. They were caught. Rubio's cutting them. 50 out of 65 million, gone. So anyway, so all they are, all this agency was another CSIS with Chris Krebs. We already have that. All of these agencies start as, they are the election guardians to make sure the elections are secure and free from global interference, all based on a false premise that Russia interfered in the 2016 election. They didn't interfere in the 2016 election at all. They gave $100 basically to each. They spent a total of a little over $200,000, $100,000 in pro-Trump ads, $100,000 in pro-Hillary ads, and that's the interference. And all of these agencies are then formed by Democrats to secure our elections. The Democrats who refuse to do any forensic audits, refuse any sort of voter ID, but they're going to secure the elections, right? So they all start out as election security outfits, but then you can just broaden that horizon in any way you want to. So we're going to secure the elections by making sure that the TLP podcast doesn't say anything. I'm paying off. I'd be a little podcast like mine. I don't even have 1,000 people watching that I can see. I have 935 people watching. Love each and every one of you. I'm just telling you, we're not big, but we've been banned off Facebook. You know why? I pay for my own censorship. My tax dollars go to the Global Engagement Center, which then makes referrals to, guess who? Democratic Party NGOs, all paid for. Everything is tax dollars, everything. The Global Engagement Center, tax dollars. They take those tax dollars and form NGOs, fully staffed by Democrats, to govern the elections to make sure there's no election interference. But election interference, who determines what interference means? Just like, what does hate speech mean? What does interference mean? Me saying that there's election fraud? That's election interference. Me claiming there's election fraud when there is? I could do a week-long show, 6 hours a day, of all the people arrested over the last 4 years for election fraud. And if I say it, though, I get banned off of Facebook, as I have been. Again, for some unknown reason, they won't give us an explanation.
Nope.
Zuckerberg, he's coming around. He's repenting. He's becoming a Trump bro. All lies. And by the way, I tried it, too. I was hoping he was. I put it out there. So they all start as an election security agency, but which we already had under Chris Krebs, so it's just under CISIS, and it's duplicated. And they funnel money to NGOs. All right, let's go to the next one. Adam Hughes tweet, Lawfare, Democrat-aligned NGOs are being protected by activist judges left and right. Judge Mary McElroy, who needs to mix in a salad, a former Democratic activist, is forcing Trump to fund Marxist climate change NGOs, fully staffed by Democrats, paying Democrats multi-million dollar salaries, who then hire other Democrats. You're wondering where all the money goes? It goes to personally enrich Democrats. I guarantee you she's connected to these NGOs. That she receives money, third or fourth hand, Mershon style, from these NGOs. Guarantee it. Just like Bossberg, his wife's involved in NGOs, and his daughter is fully paid by an NGO. So then Bossberg, who's now threatening to hold Trump officials in contempt, by the way, for not turning around international flights full of MS-13 terrorists. You want to turn them around. He's not concerned about the personnel on the planes, not concerned about the Americans on the planes, not concerned about the ICE agents on the planes or the military or anybody else. Turn it around because I, Jeb Bossberg, roommates with Brett Kavanaugh at Yale, whoop-de-freaking-do. And all these people believe that they're presidents. I mean, it's unbelievable. So, climate change NGOs led by prominent, of course, Democrats. I should have finished the sentence. Most annoying is the fact that the Obama-appointed judge was blocked by the Senate, but eventually appointed by Trump in his first term. See, Trump didn't know any better back then. Because he thought that, again, he was under the illusion that people, once they put on the robes, will become unbiased. That's hysterical. It's absolutely hysterical. But that's all our country's about. Again, and just to put a final, just a little nail in this coffin, is what they do with this money, these NGOs, is they're designated this money to be spent on some cause. It's right out of the Clinton Foundation handbook. They're given all this money, let's say $50 million, to spend on saving fish in the Colorado River. They're given $50 million to save the minnow in the Colorado River. But what they do is spend $49,950,000 on themselves to disseminate $50,000. That makes sense, Aaron?
Yeah.
That's what they do. That's all it is. That's what our entire world is about inside the United States of America. That's how AOC's worth millions and millions of dollars, and she's never made over $170,000 a year. Pelosi worth $200+ million, and she's never made over $200,000 in a year. That's how it works. Various angles, various degrees, but that's how it works. Where the heck am I? Oh, it's 10:17. Gosh, dog it. That's so much. I got the whole IRS thing. Gary Shipley's now, in charge, going to be in charge of the IRS. Great. The one who hunted down Hunter Biden. But anyway. All right, Rumble Rants tonight. Nate Dad won $50. Thank you so much, Nate Dad. Mike Griffith, $25. Thank you so much, Mike. Texas Billy, my friend. He's actually a really close friend of mine. Thank you so much, $25. Todd Suff, another friend of mine. Appreciate you. Nate Dad, also at church, comes to church. Mike Griffith comes to church. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. You get to meet everybody at the church. They finally introduce themselves by their Rumble Rant name or their Rumble chat name. But hey, Tony Nuthead, $10. Thank you so much. Goozy, $600, $5. Love you guys in the rant. Love you guys in the chat. Like and share, like and share. Let's overcome Facebook together. Let's fix the damage done by Facebook, the inadvertent damage done by Rumble because they changed how they advertise podcasts. It kind of hurt us a little bit. Cost us about 100 viewers or more, 150, 150 viewers. But anyway, let's get all those back. Like and share. Share it everywhere. Even on Facebook, just send people because Aaron and I aren't allowed to post anything now. So send the link to Rumble on your friends on Facebook if they really want the truth, the truth about politics mixed with the ultimate truth, which is the word of God. Love you. Stick around for the post game. It's awesome. Seriously, awesome. Stick around for the post game. Love you guys. See you tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lipley podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.